Come on, good stuff, good stuff. Come on, welcome to Believer's Chapel. I hope that you have had just really a great week. I hope that you're coming off on Easter celebration of who we are as a church and what we celebrate in our resurrected King. And man, I just tell you what, last week was just, it was just one of those Sundays. And from the leadership here at Believer's Chapel, we are so blessed to see so many of invited guests and family that are visiting and people who are part of this church. From the children's ministry, having 180, 90 plus, whatever that was, and just how incredible it was that they're just hearing the gospel and they're hearing about Jesus and they know the resurrection, and just to see what's happening here in this church. Man, I was just motivated through the week, even in a sense of where we're going in the next 2 weeks, today and next week, to talk about this community, this particular community as a church. Because when you begin to see this project here is done, from what you can see, we've got a couple more details to get done. And when you come to a place to see, man, I'm a part of Believer's Chapel. And I need to encourage you and build you. I feel like a coach today. Because today's going to be one of them motivating moments to say, listen, what you see is done, but we have so much work to do. We have so much work to do. And I'm not talking about the building. The building, every inch of this building is now used up. We've used up every inch of this building. I'm not talking about another building. I'm not taking up an offering. I'm talking about knowing what God has given us as a church in this facility, and to realize that it's not even about us. It really is about the hurting and the lost and the broken and the hopeless. And listen, church, you know, everywhere you go, there's hurting, broken people. Whether you go to Stuff Mart, whether you go to Tim Hortons, whether you go to grocery shopping, maybe you're at workplace, maybe you're on a block in a neighborhood, there's hurting, broken people everywhere we go. And isn't it amazing that Jesus made the statement, I will build my church. He makes a statement in Matthew and he says, listen, I'm going to build my church and the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not prevail against it. My question is this, what is Jesus doing today? Well, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Yes, he's interceding. Yes, he's our advocate. Yes, but he made this statement before Acts, which the start of the church was in Acts. So we see that this is a prophetic statement, and Jesus makes the statement, I will build my church. Well, guess what Jesus is doing today? He's building his church. And when you see church, it's not talking about building Believer's Chapel. He's talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about the church as a whole. He's talking about those who will come and confess him as Lord and Savior. He's talking about those who will be a part of the body. And we are just a sliver, man. Believer's Chapel is a tiny little sliver in this region. Great churches in this region. We're just a sliver in this region that God has allowed us to come to this place here in this facility to do something magnificent for him in this region. And today he says, I will build my church. He's talking about us today building his church. And isn't it amazing? This is where I get just confused. I get blown away. I get a little concerned. I get a little nervous. When Jesus said, I will build my church. You know what? You know who he left behind to build his church? A bunch of flawless, broken people. me and you. And I'm thinking, really, you this amazing Jesus, your amazing God, the one true living God, and you're in heaven at the right hand of the Father. You're interceding for us. You're our advocate. Amazing. Thank you. Incredible. Woo! But you've left us, people who are flawed, people who are broken and messed up. You've left us to build your church. That's your game plan. That's your draft. You drafted us. Talking of the draft, right? You drafted us to do your work. It's amazing that, yes, that's his plan. And you see, and today is what we're going to get into next week. We're going to break down, I will build my church. We're going to break down every one of those words and really go deep into what Jesus was saying there. But today, coming off of last week and coming off of such hard work to get this place ready, to get this phase three of this building. Man, can I just see a raise of hands? Who was with us in BC West? When we were at church at BC West, who was with us, right? Amazing, incredible. I don't know about you, but that, you remember, that was only 2 years ago. It feels like forever, but I don't know how this works, but for me, it felt like forever ago, but it felt like the 2 years here were unbelievably quick. So I don't know how that works. And you come to a place to see the amazing work from our living room to the park to this warehouse that is now BC West that we turned into this amazing facility that God blessed and his hands have been upon it. And now we go from Christmas being on a Sunday to renting this place to end up buying this place. And it's just to see all the work that's been done in only 2 years. And when you come to a place to realize that every single one who's a part of this church, you're a part of that process. And it was great because this whole thought comes from something that Renee had said 3 or 4 weeks ago during the marriage series. She was up here in worship. God just kind of put a picture in her heart about a puzzle. And if you remember that, it was she communicated so well on something that God really put in her heart in regards to every single one of us is a piece to the puzzle. And what it means to be joined together and what it means that when those pieces are put together. And I love this because a friend of ours didn't even know that we were preaching on this today. And they handed this to Renee before the first service going, you know what, when you mentioned that about the puzzle, that just resonated in my heart and it just spoke to my spirit. And I went online and I purchased these for you and Sean, and it's got our anniversary date and it's got her initials and my initials and it's two puzzle pieces because it meant so much to this individual. And when you come to a place to see these puzzle pieces, man, it reminds us that God says, I will build my church. And guess what? He uses puzzle pieces. He uses every single person. And here in this church, you got to remember, man, when you look at scripture, you've got Ephesians. Guess what? That was written to the local church at Ephesus. You've got 1st and 2nd Corinthians. That was written to the local church at Corinth. You've got Colossians. That was written to the local church at Colossae. So when you begin to see, yes, there is a huge body of Christ, and it's all members, and it's just incredible, and it's the church is certainly God's body, and every single one across the nations and across the world who've confessed Christ as Lord, all of us make up the church. Incredible. It's not referencing a building, but then you do see the local church and you see the slivers that are throughout that he references through scripture about what it means to be a part of the local church. And I tell you what, you come to a place to see what God has done in the last 10 years for Believers Chapel. This is his work. It's not about us, church. And you see the purpose of Believers Chapel. You see something that you're a part of. And this is what I love, because we have people who walk into these doors. And I love this because they come in for the very first time. And I hear this all the time, and I love this. I love this. I hear all the time. People walk in and say, man, I didn't even make it to my seat, and I felt like family. My first time here, walking in these doors, man, there is a community here. There is a family here. There is love in this place. I heard it this morning from someone who came up and greeted me at the end of the first service. There is such an atmosphere of love. And listen, I love it because before people, for the first time, before people ever make it to their seats, before they ever hear the first part of worship, which is unbelievable, I'll take a worship team anywhere on the world, but before they ever hear the message from the preacher, before they sit down, they know I'm coming back to this church. But what happens when we realize what is taking place with these pieces of puzzles? And what happens when we look at what Renee was saying about this whole church being all of these different pieces of puzzle? Everybody is put together and we're making this picture of what this church looks like. And what God, watch this, here's the big idea, is what God is allowing us to do in this region. And you look at the stage and you look at what God is doing and where we're set up. And listen, please hear from your pastor's heart. I'm not looking at where we're going to be next week. I'm not looking where we're going to be in 4 months. I'm looking, where is this church going to be in 1 year? I'm a 1 year, 5 year, 10 year guy. Where are we going to be in 1 year? And you look at what God has set us up. You look at this amazing stage. You look at phase 3 of this building project. Remember that little 8-inch stage that we had that was totally temporary because we invested so much into the children's ministry first? We're a family church. For a family church, you must invest in the children first. Man, we want people to love church again. We want people to walk in to Believers Chapel and feel like they're a part of the community. They're a part of the family. We want their children to love church. Can't wait to get to church. So as a church, man, we invested in children first. And then, you know, Melissa had this brilliant idea where we have this whole ministry is called Kingdom Kids. And then she says, well, you know, every kingdom needs a castle. And we're like, well, what does a castle, woo, what do you mean by a castle? Like, come on, we'll build this. This is, phase two is going to be the castle in the back room. And just, and then all of a sudden, volunteers start showing up and everything starts coming into place. And all of a sudden, we have this amazing children's castle in the back that they sit down and they have Jesus stories and puppets. And it's just, it's an amazing, amazing phase two. And then all of a sudden, we have a meeting on phase three. And now, okay, this is a new year. And to realize that we've only been in this building for 2 years. And we're already in phase three. And what is the sanctuary going to look like? Because we got to raise the stage, and we need the screens, and we need to and to bring in this atmosphere of what we're doing here. Man, it's just been this incredible, amazing, amazing project. Which we're done with everything that you can see. We have these little details to work out, but it's these amazing stories of God bringing in some union carpenters. We have no idea how to build this day. I mean, I probably could have built this thing all by myself, you know, with my little Kmart hammer, right? But that wouldn't look good. It wouldn't be circular, and it would go back to the 8-inch stage saying, I think it's good enough, guys. Let's do it. But no, there's a Sunday morning where a union carpenter comes up to Matt and says, hey, you know what? I'm off. As a union carpenter, I don't start again until spring. I'd love to build your stage for you. Okay. I'll be there Monday. Tomorrow? I'm going to bring a friend, and he's a union carpenter. And we're just, you know, we have this community projects that we're supposed to do. Do you mind if I actually bring in some other union carpenters to fulfill their community project? Okay. and then you begin to see things begin to develop, and you begin to see phase three taking place, and then you begin to see what is happening in this church. To our volunteers in this church, there are just dynamic volunteers from the line ministry to BC Defenders to GLOW to our children's ministry that takes up, I don't know, they need like 90 volunteers or 70, I don't know, it's an incredible amount of volunteers that ministry has. We have a call for 2 weeks about children's ministry volunteers, and we fill a page and a half, and you come to a place, and this is where we're at this morning, to begin to realize, what is God doing here in this church? To realize that every single one of us has a part, and every single one of us is a piece to the puzzle. Everyone, whether it's your financial giving, whether it's coming to a place that ties it up, I can't swing a hammer, don't try. I hurt my fingers many times, swelling up, bleeding, because I missed the nail, and I hit my, people don't hold the nail for me when I'm swinging a hammer, because I'm going to hit them, right? So, but I know what my gift is, I know what I can bring to the gift, and I'm just a simple little piece of the puzzle. And every single one of us in this place has to begin to realize you're a piece to this thing. Man, you matter to this thing. God's doing something here, and it's way beyond just the building. We come to a place to realize, see, now it really begins. I just feel in my heart that there's so much work to do. And I'm just like feeling like a coach, like, come on, it's time to gather up and it's time to huddle up. And yes, man, we've got the building and God has blessed us with this place and it's amazing. And we've got the stage and we've got what's happening. But now it's time to get out into the highways and byways. And now it's time to get out into our place to realize this is now the work begins for you and I to realize every single one of us are a piece of this thing. Every one of us matters to this thing. Every one of us, whether it's a volunteer, whether it's financial giving, whether it's greeters at the doors, whether it's the ministry that you're overseeing as a leader, as a volunteer, and you come to this place and you realize, you begin to see that every single one of us are just a single piece. But every one of us together, fitted together and joined together, make up this amazing, amazing, amazing picture of God doing something so incredible and so amazing here in this region through this simple, simple sliver called Believer's Chapel. And you see, even from the beginning, our mission statement has never changed and it never will change. And now look at, could you imagine starting from a living room and seeing where we're at now? Could you imagine what happens in this church if every single person who's here today, every single person who watches online because they couldn't be here this morning because they're out of town, they come to a place going, listen, you mean I'm a piece? You mean I've got my job to do? You mean I'm supposed to contribute? I'm supposed to be a part of this thing? Could you imagine what happens in multiplication? Could you imagine what takes place when we all realize, that there's a part to this that you have played. And as a church, we're blown away. We're blown away with what God is doing with the people in this church. But you see, we can look, and my daughter Olivia, she's the puzzle queen, man. She just loves these 1,000-piece puzzles, and she throws it all over the dining room table. And I look at a puzzle, and I want to puke. I'm like, I can't. This makes me dizzy. All these little pieces, and you got to be patient and put pieces together, and this piece is supposed to go there. I'm just like, I do not have time for this. But then she gets it all done, and you can glue them together, and you can frame them, and it's just, you know, all the pieces scattered on a table look like it's just chaos. Then all of a sudden, this one joins to that one, and that one joins to the next one. And all of a sudden, you have the corners done, and you have the edges done, and then you start working in the middle. And then when all said and done, it looks like this amazing, incredible picture like it was supposed to be. And I see, as Believers Chapel, we are like, every one of us is a puzzle piece, and we've come together to do not our work, but His work. We've come together for the vision of this place, which is a biblical vision. And I want you to know something. Hear this, please. I never see our puzzle ever complete, because there's always new pieces coming in. We might be almost complete, and then a new family comes in, and now they become pieces to our puzzle. I never want to have a complete puzzle until Jesus returns. I never want to be done with what we're doing until Christ. We're not done yet. We're not even started yet, church. We're just beginning. And what I see God going to do in this place, what I know that God is going to do in our region, man, we from the beginning want to see a region of people honor God and worship Him and glorify Him and lift His name above all names, to come to a place to praise Him and thank Him and give. We want to be a Psalm 29 church where we give God the glory that's due His name and worship Him in holy array. We come to this place, we want to see a region of people coming to this place to know God and love God, come to this place, those who were hurting and broken, which are everywhere, to come to a place to be saved and know what it means to honor His name and know what it means to lift His name above every name. Man, we want that in this region, and every single one of us are a part of that. I want you to just, maybe you're new, I want you to give you the vision statement of Believers Chapel, man. It's simple. Number one, we want to see people saved. Man, we are surrounded by people hurting and broken. We were surrounded by people. And you know, it's amazing that He left us to build the church. He left us to be salt and light. He left us to be the encouragers. He left us to be the hope. He left us. Listen. When you get this, when you understand, and our whole idea is we want to see people come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. We want people to be saved. People are lost all around us, and people are hurting, and people are broken, and people are hopeless. And they're everywhere. Man, I was doing something this week, and I was on the phone with somebody, and it was kind of this financial thing, and we're working through some things, and this guy was on the other side of the line, and I told him I was a pastor, and this is what I did, and then I get a call. It was Saturday afternoon. I'm driving home. My wife and I and Ethan went on a little trip, and I'm driving home, and I get a phone call from Miami. I have no idea who this is, and I answer it, and he's like, listen, I don't want to overstep my bounds, and he was extremely professional, but he says, listen, my name is such and such, and you talked to me the other day, and I know that you mentioned that you're a pastor, and this has nothing to do with anything of business, but he says, sir, I'm broken. He says, I'm a mess, and I got no one else to call. Do you mind? Why? Because I talked to you on the phone about something completely unrelated, and there was something that you liked about my tone. Do you want to call me? I said, brother, listen, I got 10 hours, man. We're driving. We got all day. And we just had this amazing conversation. There's broken people everywhere you go. There's hopeless, lost people at every turn. And our King says, I will build my church. How? I've called you to do it, meaning all of us. I've called you, Sean, to be just a piece. I've called Believers Chapel just to be a piece. And I've called every person in these seats just to be a piece. And that they would know their value, and they'd know their importance to what it means to build the church, the body of Christ. And that's not referencing the building. This is a piece to that. We're a local church. Got to have a place to meet. We want our building done with excellence because we represent Jesus Christ as our King, highest King, King above all kings. And we honor him and we represent him. We want things done with excellence here. But the church is not this building. The church is you and I. And he's continuously building his church. And guess what? He's using these pieces to do it. That means me and that means you. And man, what a place to be at Believer's Chapel to say, God, look at what you're doing here in this place with so many people in this region to realize the magnitude of what we're capable now in this building to reach as many people as we possibly can reach until the return of Christ. And I love this because Romans 12 says this. I want you to see this. Romans 12 says this, and it talks about the different gifts, and it talks about all of us being a part of this. And Romans 12, verse 4 says this, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the propitiation of his faith. If service, according to serving." And these are gifts. One may prophesy. One may have a gift of serving, who just loves to serve. This church is filled with people who have a gift to serve. This body is filled with people who say, "Listen, I just want to serve. I don't care where it is. I don't care what it is. I don't care what. I just want to serve. I want to be a part of this thing and have a heart to serve, whether that's children's ministry, whether that's toilets, whether that's worship, whether that's different parts of ministry. Man, there's just something in me." Guess what? That's a gift, and everybody does their part. And then it says, "One who teaches in his teaching, one who exhorts in exhortation." That's the gift of encouragement. And I love it when people walk in this place going, "I didn't even make it to my seat, and I love this place." Why? Because I felt celebrated. I felt like I was loved. I felt like I was a part of the family, and I don't even know whose name they are. But there was something here that they made me feel like I was a part, and I didn't even make it in the sanctuary yet. You know how many times we hear that? Why is that? That's not because of me. That's because of you. And they walk in this place, and then they see a worship that exalts our God, and then they see a message that hope that motivates them to love Jesus. And my dad has this gift of encouragement. And I just heard this story. Someone was just telling me that he was in a courtroom. He was testifying on someone's behalf, and he was in this courtroom waiting room, which is just a horrible place to be. If you're ever in a courtroom, that's a bad place. Unless you're jury selection. Other than that, you shouldn't be there. But anyways, you come to a place where he walks into this waiting room, and this is just my dad. And he tells he had three jokes forever, and I just told him another one. So now he has four jokes in his whole life. I didn't even tell it. It was that stupid video we played for marriage, which was hilarious. Anyways, he tells that as a joke. But he has the ability and his gift to encourage, to walk into a waiting room of people who are waiting for court, which is just a desperate place, and just bring an atmosphere of joy and bring an atmosphere to that place, to hurting people. Man, that's just a gift, man. That's just a piece of the puzzle. That's just a piece of the puzzle. And it says, he who gives, that's even speaking financially, that those who just love to give. And listen, let me just share with you, man. This is just such amazing because And this isn't a message on giving. We're not taking up an offering. Listen, this is the deal, man. We're so pumped about where we're at financially in this church because if you're one who says, "Listen, I understand tithes and offering," you're one who understands what it means to give. You're a piece to what's happening. You're a piece to the lives coming in this place, hearing the gospel. You're a piece to people who walk in this place to be saved, to be set free, to understand what it means to fear God, to live out worship, to live out truth, and to honor Christ as King. That's our mission statement. That's what we want to see. You're a piece to that. We want to see people saved. We want to see people set free. What does it mean? Yes, you can be saved, but you can be in bondage. And that's not God's plan. We want you saved, but we want you set free. We want the Spirit of our living God, which is love, hope, peace, patience, to come in and just take over your soul. so that you can be set free from bondage. You can be set free from addiction. And you come to this place to understand what it means to walk in a fear of God, to have this reverence of God, to know what it means to truly live out worship, a life that gives praise, a life that lives for worship, to live out truth, to believe that this is the absolute truth and there is no wiggle room. And we stand our ground on the absolute word of the word of God that is the truth. And we want a people, we want to see a region of people honor Christ as King. And man, if you're in this place and you're like, I know what it means to give. I know what it means to have a gift to give. And I can't wait to write that check. I can't wait to do tithes and offerings. Man, we're going on this missions trip. It's going to cost $7,000 to build a house. That's some of your car. I mean, my car ain't worth $7,000. I could buy a car for $7,000. But yet we can build the house for $7,000. And we're selling t-shirts to raise money, but the money's already there. We already sent $3,000 down. We're going to send $4,000 down probably this week. Maybe it's already been sent, but it's paid for. Why? Because listen, please hear this, man. We're in the greatest position we've ever been financially here in this church. So it's not, hey, we need more money. It's let's just continue what we're doing. Man, every single person's a piece to what's happening here. We're able to do that because of such people who love to give. Understanding, man, this is my, I can't swing a hammer, but man, I can give. Man, I don't know what it means. I can't stand kids who are puking. That ain't my game. I can't do that. But man, I can serve with the teens. I can do what it needs to do with video. I can do what it means to do on our worship team. I can do what it means to do to serve at all of these different ministries. Man, I know my place, and I'm just a piece. I'm just a piece. Watch this. I want to read this. Ephesians 4 is great. This we're probably not going to get to Nehemiah 1, but I want to show you this. Ephesians 4 says this. And Jesus gave some as apostles and prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Here it is. Watch this. And this is my responsibility. Why? Why? When you come to church, what happens at church? Yes, we want the hurting. Yes, we want the broken. Why do the sick go to the hospital, church? Because they're sick. Well, the church is supposed to be a place of healing. The church is supposed to be a place for the broken, for the hurting, for the lost, for the hopeless. We are the people who understand what it means to be saved. We are the people who are supposed to be filled with hope, supposed to be filled with love. I want this place to be filled with the hurting and broken. I want us to do our part on the streets, to share our testimony, to tell the good news, to know who Jesus is, and draw them into a place where they can celebrate our King, where they can worship and hear a message and watch what God is doing. Man, that's all of our part. But look at, watch this. What is my responsibility, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints? The word equipping, it means to make ready. And I'm just like, God, I hope that every single week, man, we're making people ready. Whether it's clearing things off our plate, whether it's coming to a place to release our sin, whether it's coming to a place to repent, whether it's coming to a place to just, woo, to be rejuvenated and juiced up again and ready for the week. Come on, we got work to do. Just because the stage is done in so many hands, so many volunteers that made this happen. This is just the start for Believers Chapel. We have so much to do when it comes to people, when it comes to our responsibility on the streets, when it comes to our responsibility in the grocery store, our responsibility at work, our responsibility in the neighborhood, our responsibility on the phone, whatever that looks like. There's so much work to do. Only one reason, because there's hurting, broken people. And it's my responsibility to equip, to make ready. For what? For the work of service. I love this. Here it is. For equipping the saints for the work of service, for the building up, watch this, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's church. That's local church. This is written to the local church. It's up to the pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists to come to a place here in the local body, here in this place, to equip the saints, that's us, for the work of service out there. To do what? Build up. Build up what? A building? No. Build up the body of Christ. And I love this. And Renee shared this verse with me, and it's so good. Verse 16 says this, from whom the whole body, watch this, the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. I look at these puzzle pieces, and every piece has a place. And if you put the wrong piece in the wrong place, it doesn't fit. And I love what it says. Look at this. Watch this. The whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So, Sean, what's the point? Point is this, man, we're amazed at what God is doing in this church. We're part of something just very special. We're part of the building that he's dropped in our lap, and in that, there's huge responsibility. He's blessed us with this place. But the truth is this, man, every single one of us has a part to play. And if you're in this place and you're sitting in these seats, you're a piece. You're a valuable piece to what God is doing. Amen. Today we walk out going, man, there's work to be done. There's people to be drawn in. There's testimonies to tell. There's gospel to tell to people who are hurting and broken. And we want to see people saved. We want to see people set free. We want people in the right spirit to know what it means to really fear God. We want to see people understand what it means to live worship, to live out worship. We want to see people know what it means to truly live out his truth, to repent from sin, to acknowledge sin, and to live according to his way. And we want to see people come to this place to know that Jesus is truly the King of Kings, and I'm going to honor him in my lifestyle and who I am. Man, I'm going to honor him and what I think and what I say and what I do, that he would be pleased with me and he'd be proud of me. And I want to honor him as my king who put himself on a cross for me. And in that, man, I just want to honor him in my daily living. Come on, we got work to do. And you look at this piece, and I'll close with this. You look at this piece of Nehemiah, and maybe I'm hoping to be able to get into this even next week. Again, next week we're going to break down, I will build my church. Isn't it amazing that you can see all kind of reports? Now the church is dying. Church is coming to a close. There's so many different ways to heaven, and the enemy is the greatest liar. And he is just such a deceiver to say, well, there's this avenue, and there's this avenue, and there's this avenue. Man, churches are closing, but no. Watch, Jesus said this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Guess what? Jesus does win. Jesus does come to a place to conquer. There is no end to his game. His game is one. Say, listen, today, currently, what Jesus is doing is building his church. Amazing who he's using, us. Crazy thought. But I love that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you look at Nehemiah, and Nehemiah comes to this picture, and you can read it in Nehemiah 1 through 6, and this is an amazing story about this individual who is a cupbearer for a king, and he gets word from his brother that Jerusalem's just a mess, man. It's a desolate. The walls are broken. People are hurting. And it crushes him. It crushes him in his spirit to say, well, something has to be done. We're God's people, and this is a disgrace. And he goes and he begins a process of building walls. And then in the midst of him building walls, there's these three particular individuals who come against him and show just such opposition. And here Nehemiah's like, listen, I'm doing this. I'm doing this not for myself. I'm doing this for our king. I'm doing this for his name, that he would be honored, that we are his people. And they say, listen, Nehemiah, we got something to share with you. We need you to come off the wall. And Nehemiah's like, no. I know what I'm called to do. I know my peace in this wall. I know what it, and listen, I love it, because even in the midst of opposition, he gets together. You can read this in chapter 3. Over 31 times he says, you work next to this person, and your family gets to work next to this family, and this family gets to work next to this family, and then you are with them, and you are with them, and you are with them, and you are next to them. And it's this amazing picture of all these pieces coming together to build a wall to honor the king and to honor the Lord's name and to to bring him honor in this place. And it was you next to you and you next to you and your family next to your family. And pick up a sword because they're coming. Opposition is coming. Opposition is coming. So pick up a sword and pick up a hammer. And here, you're going to be hammering and you're going to be on guard. And you're going to be hammering and you're going to be on guard. And they're like, listen, it's time for you to come off the wall. And Nehemiah's like, I'm not coming off this wall. I'm doing a good work and I can't come down. Church, we come to a place, even in church, you don't think that you're going to have opposition when you really begin to step into to serving, when you begin to step in. And I love it because the people started to doubt. And Coach Nehemiah comes along and says, no. Man, this is God's work. God's doing something. There's more to be done. Let's step out. Let's finish the job. And he motivates them who are in doubt and said, listen, this is what we're going to do. It's time that you pick up a sword and it's time that you pick up a hammer and let the opposition come. We know that they're going to come, but we're going to be ready. We're going to get the work done. I love Coach Nehemiah. He's just encouraging and he's building and he's building and he's building. Even for those who are in doubt, he's like, listen, flip that. Change that. Don't believe in the lies. Don't believe in the opposition. Don't believe what they're telling you. This is God's work. We're moving forward. Grab the hammer. Let's go. And I love it because here in this place, we see that phase three is just about complete. And yet we could actually rest for a second and think that, well, that's good. Or we can say, no, man, this is just the start, man. God has blessed us with this building and we're responsible for it and what we do with it and how we fill it and the messages that are preached here and the worship that takes place in this place and the love that we have for Jesus. Watch this now, and the love that we have for one another, that it's every piece supplies. And if you're a part of Believer's Chapel, you're a piece to what God is doing here. And you may be in this place, and we'll close with this. You may be in this place and say, well, I don't think I've done much. Number one, you're present. That's huge. Number two, if you give, that's huge. Number three, if you volunteer for any inch of this church, that's huge. Because the enemy would love to begin to bring doubt and begin to get you to begin to underestimate your purpose here. Your purpose here might be giving. Your purpose here might be volunteering. Your purpose may be here to do toilets. Your purpose may be here to be in a booth. Your purpose may be here to volunteer in a ministry. And don't ever, ever underestimate the work that God is doing through you, because every single one of us are just a piece, man. We're just a piece to a puzzle. And my hope is that you and I never see this puzzle completed until our King returns. Because I never want a complete picture like we're done. We're never done. There's so much work to do. There's so many lives at stake. There's so many people, if we would just open our eyes to see, who are hurting and broken, and they're all around us, church. They're all around us. Jesus said, listen, I'm leaving it up to you to go out and build my church. And he's not talking about me, I'm talking about you and me. Those who've confessed him as Lord and Savior, that's just the start of our responsibility as a follower of Christ and as an individual here in this church. Because it's not about us. It is about him and his work. It is about him being glorified and honored. And it is about loving him. And it is about loving people. And it is about pursuing people. And it is about the lost and the hurting and the broken. It is about those who've walked in deception, because the enemy is a liar, but we have the truth. It is about them. And man, today's just kind of one of those days. It's just like, come on, let's gear up. Just because the stage is done and just because the lights are amazing, just because the trussing is up and the screens are incredible, just because our booth is up there doing their thing, and just, we're not, that doesn't mean we're done. It means we're starting. This is the beginning of you and I going out, going, okay, bring them in. God, fill this place. Move in this place. God, help me when I'm buying my coffee. Help me in the grocery store to make a difference, God, that I walk in that place and I bring light with me because I am light. I have the light of the world in me because I have peace. God, even if my world's in chaos, God, I've been praying this from last Sunday, man. I am telling you, there was something about that message last Sunday for me personally that I've been praying particularly over my family, my children, over my staff and their children, and over this church as individuals, going, God, that we would have grace and peace in fullest measure. I hope that you heard that last week, that we would have grace and peace multiplied and in fullest measure so that we go in to the world, we go in to the highways and byways, we are filled to the fullest measure of grace and peace, and it can be identified easy. Church, this is just the start. I love that God, we're done with this 2 minutes, and I love that God has brought in the team that he has brought in. It's like the draft from heaven, like our staff that's in this place and our board and our deacons and the volunteers that are in this place and you who are a piece to this, who are going, listen, I don't really do much, but I know I give your huge piece to what's going on here. Don't ever, ever underestimate what God's doing through you in building his church. And it's not the building. Because I can say the building's about done. Almost every inch of this place is used up, and it's only been 2 years. But now the work starts out there. And the work starts in what it means to look for the lost, the hurting, and the broken, and to give them the absolute gospel of what God has done in your life. And now then we see. We begin to see the greatest miracle of all. It's a heart that would come to a place to repent from their sin, to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and come to a place to confess that he is Lord of their life and watch the Spirit come in and begin to turn a soul and begin to turn an individual that was once lost that is now saved forever. Because you and I just simply did our part. Because you and I are just simply a piece of a puzzle. And to know there's so much to be done. Come on, let's bow our heads. Father, I love this church. I love these people. Father, I'm amazed at what you're doing here. Jesus, you said, I will build my church. That's not the building. It's people. You will build your church, people, the body of Christ, those who would come to confess that you are Lord. God, you're still doing that. You will always be doing that until you return. It's what you're doing now, but you're using us to do it. God, help us to get on target here. Help us to be on page. Help us to know that we're at peace. Help us to never underestimate what you're doing through us. God, you've called us to this. You've given us a place to bring in as many people as we possibly can bring in that will worship you, that will respond to your truth, that will come to know you as they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. And Father, we'll see this again and again and again and again. And every person in these seats, God's come to place. I'm a part of that. God, I'm a part of that. I'm a piece to this puzzle. I'm a piece. Father, I thank you that every single one of us, who are many, make up one body. We all have gifts to bring. We all have a piece in a place. We all have a part. We all have a part when it means to build your body. It means to build your church. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for this body of believers, and I thank you for these people. Is there anyone in this place, Lord, that doesn't know you? Father, I just pray that they come to a place by your Spirit that they would know and understand, man, sin has separated us from you. But yet you love me with such a love that you sent your own Son to die on the cross for me, and in that, man, I can be saved. In that, I can be washed white as snow, and in that, I can have eternal life. And if you're in this place and you don't know Christ as Savior, but you want to become a part of the church, that doesn't mean joining Believer's Chapel. We don't even have membership. That's just you coming to a place to know Christ as Savior, and you're a part of the body as a whole. When you come to a place to repent from your sin, believe that Jesus is the only way, and confess in this moment, just confess, forgive me of my sins. You are Lord of my life. I turn from my sin. You are the Christ. You are the Savior. You are the Lord. And I make an agreement with you in this moment that I will serve you. Let your spirit reign within me. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, church, amen. Listen, thank you for being a part of this church and what you do. Come on, a lot of work to do. Next week, we'll dive into I Will Build My Church. Come on, amen, amen. Good, church, good. Come on.